Blog Talk Radio.
Program. We're associated now with the Regional American Sports Network. That's an affiliate of the Regional American Football League. So we are very honored and happy to have the opportunity to be a part of this. And you know, we're just hoping to bring quality interviews and quality recaps of games, and hopefully we can come out to your event and support it, you know, check you guys out. Just the only thing I want to say, you know, coaches, teams, you know, just let us know. Reach out to us. You know, we'll be having more interviews as far as with the coaches and staff and different people that affects our community in the football league. Not only will we be doing football, we'll be doing basketball in local areas as well as soccer. You know, it's just an initiative. When we say Game Strong, it's an initiative of taking something that you do in life, applying it, goals like you do in any game, and kind of, you know, executing in the strategy way. You know, that's what it is all about. That's what the concept came about. So we're very happy, we're very honored and humbled to have men like Brother Ed, you know, help us out on this. So, Brother Ed, man, tonight we're going to do a preview of the RFL.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, we're going to do a preview. I think the last preseason game wasn't July 29th, wasn't the last couple preseason games that we had?
I believe so. So, you mean June 29th, because the league actually starts on the actually this coming weekend. You have quite a few games that are coming up. So, it's
okay.
Ready to get into full swing and see a lot of hard-hitting action out there.
Well, definitely. Before we get started, Brother Ed, I mean, you know, can you let some of our listeners know, because I know we have a lot of listeners that live not only in Jersey, Philadelphia and New York. We also have listeners on the West Coast and Southern region. And big shout out to our military family in Afghanistan that checks us out and support us. We salute you and we appreciate you tuning in as well. So, Brother Ed, let some of the listeners know a little about your history. You know, how you got into this and what you do.
Well, as far as a coach. I've been coaching relatively a long time, over 30 years. Started in youth football, then got into minor league semi-pro and also indoor football. Also tried a little bit at the junior college just recently, just checking it out to see if that's also something viable in the future. So as far as playing experience, played at Kane College, now Kane University in Union, New Jersey, and played a few years of minor league semi-pro ball. Been an owner at this level for many years, different teams, and traveled the country. I mean, minor league semi-pro has definitely opened up provided me the opportunity to travel and meet many diverse people across the country. So, you know, it's something that, you know, I can definitely appreciate. And I think that it should be appreciated for what it provides its players.
Great. That's good stuff. Now, I mean, first of all, I mean, salute to you, brother. I mean, now, how many years are we talking about? I mean, you had a big rundown of what you've done in your resume. How many years are we talking about you've been involved with semi-pro, minor league football?
Minor league semi-pro, I first got into it back in 94, maybe 95 as a player with the old Jersey Oaks. I only did it for a year, but, you know, I definitely played there. Then I played in 97 with the old Brick City Buccaneers. Back in 2002, played with one of the teams that I started, the New Jersey Terminators, but ended up retiring due to injury. And from there, I've been, you know, heavily into it, owning teams such as New Jersey Rottweilers, the Terminators, New Jersey Warriors, New Jersey Invaders, been a part of other teams, New Jersey Lions, the Mid-State Marauders, in a multitude of different positions, from head coach, associate head coach, coordinator, doesn't matter if it's offense, defense, special teams, position coaching. So, I mean, I've, you know, touched a lot of different aspects of the game itself.
Wow, that's definitely. You know, for a lot of you players out there, I mean, you know, it's when you have men that's been dedicated to this. He doesn't do this for the love of money. He does this for the love of football and the sport itself. But I can personally tell you, Brother Ed has been instrumental in helping a lot of young men, you know, keep them off the streets. Whether young men want to play collegiately or want to play to the next level, he has helped them. So we encourage you, you know, give back to the game, that the game given to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, once again, brother, I salute you. Just a quick FYI, we are expecting Head Coach Gene White to come on. As a matter of fact, I believe we have him online now. So without no further ado, we're going to bring our first interview tonight. So I'm going to bring a brief little introduction. This gentleman, we had a brief interview last week, but we said we're going to do it right this week. I want to introduce the head coach and president of operations for the New Jersey Bravehearts. Mr. Gene White is now on deck. What's going on, Brother Gene?
What's going on, good brother? Happy to be here.
All right, glad to hear you, brother.
Jane?
I know we talked a little bit last week. But we want to interview you right. And you have to do it right with the brothers. brother Ed, you know, Coach Ed for a lot of us. He's a brother to me. We want to ask you a little bit about your program. Brother Ed, I'm going to, you know, turn the mic over to you. You're great at this. I think it's only appropriate that you ask questions to Gene.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How you doing today, Gene?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. In terms of the Bravehearts, I know this is your second go-round with the Bravehearts. What was it that you wanted to do in terms of creating the Bravehearts both times? What was it that you wanted to bring to the community with this program?
Honestly, the situation is, the love of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of us have a lot of love for this game, and they don't want to give it up because I'm in my elder age, and I still don't want to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we need to understand that we got to teach these young folks,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, out here and give them the wisdom and knowledge that we got.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to, you know, give back and then definitely give back to the kids in the community because it's more about them than it is us.
Definitely. I can definitely agree with that. It's definitely about giving back to the community and helping the younger generations understand what this game is all about and what they can take advantage of through football. Now,
right.
You know, you guys start your season this coming week in the REFL. This is what, your third year in the REFL?
Yes, sir.
Okay, last year you guys were 11-4, and you just came short of making it to, you made it to the semifinal round. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you guys have a very talented squad out there. in terms of where you guys are playing, pretty much where can the fans expect to see most of your games?
We'll be out in Rosedale, New Jersey at Sylvester Land Field, 225 Columbus Street, Rosedale, New Jersey. Games is on Saturday nights. Kickoff is at 7 p.m. and admission is free.
Well, you know, good football fans definitely would love that. Free football and come out and see some good action.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now with this season, the REFL has picked up a good diverse group of teams throughout the Northeast and down into the central states within on the East Coast. It's going to be some tough challenges. Who are some of the key teams within the league itself?
Well, besides us, you really have New York Predators. They've been around for years and been established. The newer teams that just came into the league is, you know, I guess everybody knows the Piranha. You know, I mean, Central Penn Piranha, and they've been around a long time.
A long time,
playing together for a long time, and only with maybe a few losses with 100-something wins. So you got to come with your A game, B game, and C game if you want to beat them.
And who are some of the other key teams?
We got some good talent in there down in Philly. We got some Philly teams. That's all right. One of them went to the championship last year in the Gators. We got a brand-new team up out of, used to be the Western Mass Blitz and Bears. Now they're the New England Soul, and they always been good. So that's going to be a challenge there because that's our second game.
Okay. Well, with that, with the tough competition in the REFL, what is your team goals for this year? What are your expectations?
My expectations, honestly, is to beat our nemesis that we ain't beat in 3 years, rather 2 years. This is the third year, and we got to get over this hump of beating these New York Predators. Once we get over that hump, skies is the limit. And I'm going to have a great season with the start of the kickoff with some new additional teams that we got in the Flemington Generals.
Okay. So who is some of your key players to help you get over the hump in competing against the Predators and the other new teams within the REFL?
Well, I start with offense first. That's anchored down by Mike Purnell, a.k.a. Sliced Bread. one of the best quarterbacks, you know what I mean, around in semi-pro football. Defensive-wise, is anchored by middle linebacker Jason Crutchfield, number 17, that holds down the middle and really holds down the defense. So with them two captains, I'll take them any day.
Well, what makes starting with Purnell, what do you think makes him such a great quarterback?
Well, with Purnell, honestly, him reading the defense. He can read the defense, and he got a strong arm to zip it in there when it needs to be zipped in there. And he got a light touch, too. So a lot of times, you know, threading the needle, he's precise with that. He precise with audibles. He's just an all-around quarterback. He could take off with the legs, too, and keep it moving.
Okay. Well, with Jason Crutchfield, what do you think helps him be a key factor and such an outstanding player at middle linebacker?
Well, for one, he reads. For two, he fills the hole. Without question of a doubt. For three, you know what I mean, he commands everybody respect that's on defense. And honestly, they listen.
Well, that's always a good thing when you have a player who can definitely command that, that respect.
Right.
All right. Now, last week I listened a little bit to your interview, and you were talking about, you know, one thing that, you know, is important to you is trying to find ways to consolidate the different leagues that are within this regional area. What do you, how do you think that, that it can be established in terms of getting all the teams together at the table so we can sit down and talk and find a more suitable way to help to elevate this sport?
Honestly, I think that if everybody, all these leagues that's here on the East Coast, from the RAFL to the Major League Football to the Five Star to the New England Football League, we got enough teams here where we can have a big impact on the sport of football, period. If everybody came to the table, just say in January, you know, all of the league leaders, owners, came to the table, just say in January, and sat still and really talked about promoting good football, you know, I mean, you might be able to pull some big sponsors that are buy stadiums and things of that nature to really push semi-pro football out there and make it just right up under, you know, the NFL. You got some top quality teams that can really do it. And the problem with that is that I see is that nobody wants to be an Indian. You know what I mean? Everybody want to be a chief. So the situation really boils down to if you sat down at a round table, listen, we can do this, that, this, and the other. I think it, could, it can come through. If they put their mind to it, they grown men. They can talk it out, hash it out. Hey, let's go. You'll have a wonderful league. But then again, you got teams that like to play in the fall. You got teams that like to play in the summer. That's going to always be a conflict right there. But I guess football was made for the wintertime because it's always been that September on down. But summertime, is, I guess, is more funner. So I take the summer over the freezing cold because nine times out of ten, once the NFL pop off and college pop off, people not going to want to come out and watch semi-pro games when their teams is on. So summertime, ain't nothing going on.
Okay,
and a lot of people ain't watching no baseball, so I guess that's that.
Well, Gene, if Coach Gene, if people wanted to get in more information on your team, what is your website so we can always look it up and get more information on your team?
Yes, everybody, whoever wants to get information on New Jersey Brave Hearts, just type in www.njbravehearts.com and everything should come up about us, I guess bios and faculty, you know what I mean, and definitely, you know, field and things of that situation. So everything will come up and my number's up there. So if anybody got any questions, they can just call me. Feel free.
Okay. All right, Wayne, you had any questions for Coach Gene?
No, I mean, the only thing, you know, just want to let my listeners know, I know you have annual Fuccini Bowl, Fuccini Bowl coming up. Is there anything you want to tell listeners about it?
Yes, this is our fifth year from the battle of having the Fuccini Bowl. This is a situation of one of our players' moms passing away from diabetes. This year is the Fuccini Bowl. We're going to have it every year. So our first game is dedicated to the Fuccini family their whole family be out there on the field at halftime, you know what I mean? And we'll present them with, you know, like we last year, like plaques and things of that nature. We got a football that everybody signed that's on the team, and that's going to the family. You know, Mr. Pacini, for all his dedication and hard work that he put in behind the scenes, you know, for the team. So the Tracy Pacini Bowl is real big. I just appreciate everybody to come out and just support, you know, I mean, show love to their family because they're missing a loved one,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the mother is the backbone of all families. So they really, you know, missing mom, and then we just there to try to console them and show them that we didn't forget about her.
Okay, that's a good thing. That's definitely a good thing.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm definitely good. I mean, hopefully I should be able to try to get out there and check you out. We'll check out a couple of your games, brother.
Yes, sir.
But listen, man, I don't know about Coach Ed right now, but, you know, we appreciate you coming, you know, taking the time to talk about the program. You know, later in the season, man, I hope to have you back if you will allow us.
No problem. Anytime. Just give me a call.
Now, hey, listen, we appreciate you. We love number love for you, brother.
Yes, sir.
You know, so just you know, just listen to the show, and you know, me and brother, we're gonna do our review of the RFL upcoming season. So thank you again,
sir.
Brother James. This is Brother Gene White, coach of the Bravehearts, the president of operations. We thank you, brother. We'll talk to you later in the season.
Thank you.
All right,
Coach Gene. Good luck this season.
All right. Hey, brother, man. Hey, brother, it's a great interview, man. Great interview. Now, let's get nuts and bolts of the season. Just get nuts and bolts of the season, man. How you want to break this down? I'm curious. Do you want to kind of go into by division? Or, because I got the division, the schedule. You want to go by division first?
It doesn't matter. That's perfectly fine. We can definitely go ahead and do that. I mean, if you want to start with this weekend, we can definitely, you know, get right into it.
Yeah, let's go. I mean, actually, I was sitting there looking at the schedule. I'm like, damn, this appears to be a heck of a schedule. Right now, let's go to the Metro North Division. What games we got going on? Let me see if I'm looking at it. What we got? Week one, you got the – okay, maybe when we start the Metro Division, I'm looking at who's in the Metro Division. We got New England Soul. You got the New York Predators. You got the Generals, you got the Bravehearts. Let me see.
Mm-hmm.
What else you have? I'm trying to get this.
That's the Metro North Division of the REFL. Starts out with the Predators, the Soul, Bravehearts, and the General. Then when you go to the Metro Central Division, that's when you get into the Philadelphia area where you have the Philly Braves, the
mm-hmm.
Philly Gators, which
mm-hmm.
Coach Gene just talked about making the championship, the Delaware
mm-hmm.
Bison, and the South Jersey Bengals. All right,
okay.
Then you go into the Metro West Division, which has the Central Penn Piranha, DC Explosion, Baltimore Blackhawks, and the Lancaster Lightning. And then in the South Division, you have the Metro Nemesis, the DMV Enforcers, and the Redskins. You also had the Southern Virginia Trojans, but due to some untimely situations with their owner, you know, they've had to step back. We definitely want to wish the owner, OJ.
Is that a newsflash? Are we talking about it just happened? They stepped back from the league?
Yes, this just happened this past weekend. The owner actually has had a stroke. So he's actually had to take a step back, which, you know, you definitely have to respect that. Even though we love to play this game and be a part of this game, you know, your health and your family always comes first. So the Trojans, to my understanding, had to take a step back. And, you know, the league is working diligently to, you know, readjust a few things. But, you know, everything should be taken care of effectively and efficiently.
Wow. Whew. Wow. I agree with your assessment. I mean, I definitely believe that family comes first, and
mm-hmm.
you know, our condolences, our prayers go out to the South Virginia Trojans. I believe in that preseason game, they was coming in strong. They was coming
mm-hmm.
very strong. I think the last game, if I'm looking at this right, They scored 37 against the North Carolina Stallions in the last preseason game they had. I mean, they was a force to reckon with coming into the upcoming season. They was a perennial power. So I know that they were definitely on a lot of teams' radar. So without no further ado, let's get into it, man. Let's start with the Metro North Division. What do you see coming out of that division? I mean, the teams you just named, you know, can you give your assessment as a coach and what you've known of them?
Well, as far as the teams themselves, I mean, of course, you know, if we start with, you know, last year's the Predators, of course they won the championships. They've been around for years. They're a very disciplined group. You know, right now they're, you know, in a transitional period, but a transitional period for them still means that they're a very quality program, so they can definitely go out there and compete with some of the best ones. Their last preseason game, they actually competed against the Piranha. This was a game that was scheduled prior to the integration of the Piranha and the other Southern teams into the league. So the and the final score was 28-7. But, you know, from what I understand, it was a very tough game and a hard-fought game. The New England Soul, you know, as Coach Gene said, they're formerly the Western Mass Blitzen Bears. They're very tough-minded
squad.
Yes, definitely. Tough-minded, disciplined. They're not afraid of anybody. They've actually, a lot of the components of their program have traveled across the country and played a lot of the top teams. So, you know, they're very battle-tested. Of course, we have the Bravehearts, and, you know, I can attest to their ability to perform and go out there. They're not going to back down from anybody. So they'll line up and they will, you know, if you really sleep on them, you'll walk away with a loss. And then the Flemington Generals. Last year was a little difficult, but based on their previous experience, they're the type of program that is hard-nosed, and they will work hard and be very diligent in their approach, and they will definitely give you a ball game and come away with a win if you, you know, if you definitely think that they're that easy to beat.
Now
in terms of coming out of that division, right now it's too early for me to say right now who is the one to win it all. If you just want to go based on being the Predators are in there because they're the league champion, you know, that's the safe way to go. But, you know, any of the other teams, you know, they can definitely step up to the plate, and if the Predators sleep, they will definitely walk away with the win.
Now, it's funny you said that. You know, we talked about, now, like you said, there's three teams I'm looking at out of that division. No disrespect to any team. When I, you know, the Generals, I think they have a quality program. They're the owners and the staff line. They put together quality football over there in the program. So my hat goes off to them, as always. I have to say, the Predators, of course, you want to look at the Predators, the champions. Now, they're playing against the New England Soul this week. Could this game here be an indicator as a result of kind of who's going for the division championship? Can we look at this game as a perimeter? Because I know the Bravehearts, like you said, is one of those teams, if you sleep on them, they will come. They will come. So I'm looking at three teams. I'm looking at the Predators, in no particular order, the Predators, Bravehearts, and the Soul.
As the division, you know, I mean, that's definitely a good way of looking at it. To start out the season with the Soul and the Predators playing, I can't. It's like I said, it's too early for me to say the winner of that game has control of the division. It's way too early. You know, if we looked at the preseason, there was a lot of, you know, banter and chit chat in reference to what was going on, and Predators had a tough game and came on the short side of it. But their next game against the number one team in the country, they definitely stepped up to the plate and definitely proved that, you know, they're not going to be an easy win for anyone. So, you know, the Predators can get it together. They have some key players over there. So, you know, if you definitely think that, oh, you know, it's going to be an easy walk to just go and beat the Predators, you'd be misled, and you could end up walking away with a loss. So, and the Soul, you know, hey, right off the bat, that's going to be a great game. That definitely is.
I agree. Do we have any information on the location of the game? Because I know it's, so would you easily say that's a game of the week out of that division?
Yes, you could say that's the game of the week. My understanding, they're playing that game. They're playing that at American International College in Springfield, Massachusetts. So AIC College, it's at the Ronald J. Abbal Field in Springfield, Massachusetts, 6 p.m. kickoff.
Okay, well, let's label that the game of the week for that division. That's a pivotal game. We encourage our listeners. You know, we'll have recap next week, so that's a pivotal game because it can kind of set the tone on who's coming out of the division. But I think that I call the wild card team out of this division will be the Bravehearts. You know, I think that DeSoul and the Predators will be battling. But like you said, us personally knowing the Bravehearts and some of their players and staff and what they bring to the table, if you sleep on them, you think you're going to walk over them, they're the X factor. So I'm calling them the X factor. I'm going to pick the champion and pick the Predators out of this division, but the Soul can be that new kid on the block with that chip on his shoulder, but, you know, sneaking right behind, I just see the Bravehearts saying, you know what, I'm going to let y'all battle it out, and I'm going to come and do the cleanup. So be careful. Mm-hmm. I see the Predators. I believe the Soul's coming with a chip on his shoulders, but Bravehearts, I think they're going to let them two ax each other out and come in and do the cleanup. So it's those three teams right there. So I agree with you on that one, brother. Let's take it to the Metro Central Division.
Okay.
All right. What we got?
Terms of the Metro Central, you have the Philly Braves, Philly Gators, Delaware Bison, and the South Jersey Bengals. The Braves are led by Coach Adam Trakell. Anybody who knows Coach Turk knows that he's, you know, very tough-minded, very physical. He plays that physical brand of football. Even though he's in the Philly area, he has that New York state of mind. So he always has that type of approach whenever he plays football. Currently, he's actually the head coach for the Philly Souls, one of the arena teams that they have. They have like a minor league arena league that they sponsor, and his team actually is leading. They actually went undefeated, and they're the number one team in the playoffs. So you know that he's definitely going to have a team that is going to be a team that is to be reckoned with whenever he gets out on the field. So the Philly Braves are definitely a tough team. The Philly Gators, of course, they made it to the championship last year, so you know that they're championship tested. Being that they're in that area, that you know that they have. They play that exciting type of a brand of football where they can put the ball all over the place. But, you know, if they need to get physical, they can definitely get physical with you and definitely bring a good brand of football on the field. The Delaware Bison, they're always a tough challenge. Some years they can be down, but some years they could definitely be one of the leaders. So you really don't know just yet what you have with them. They had a decent year last year. So, you know, the expectation would be that they're still going to go ahead and play that and be competitive, and it's not going to be an easy walk. And then the South Jersey Bengals, a lot of their players used to play with the Camden Lynx, so it's a new program.
Really? Didn't know that.
Yes.
Didn't know that.
And the head coach of the Lynx now is the owner and head coach of the South Jersey Bengals, Coach Lester Cream. So, you know, he's definitely going to bring a special brand of football. They're disciplined. They play that same type of football as the Braves, where they can get physical with you, but then they can go over the top on you offensively and defensively. They definitely know how to play within their scheme and definitely know how to bring it to an opponent. So they're not going to be an easy walk. For this division, right now, it could be pretty much the early test is probably going to come down between the Gators and maybe the Bengals, and the Braves are going to be like a 1B type of a thing with both the Gators and the Bengals going at 1A, Braves at 1B, and the Bison at 1C. You know, but again, anybody could win that division. Depends on, you know, where they go. I mean, what kind of run did they go on? Looking at their schedule, you know, they play a lot of the top teams. The Braves play the Bravehearts. They play the Central Penn Piranha, the Gators, of course, everybody in their division. So You see that the Gators actually play the Soul, so you know it's balanced out, and they're definitely going to be playing, you know, all the top teams in the league. So it's going to be a tough division right there.
Now it's crazy, but my sources just told me as a recent part of your Gators. I'm talking about main players. I believe they had a star safety and a star mm-hmm. quarterback that went over mm-hmm. to the Central Penn Piranhas to play. My understanding
wow.
that's a big yeah. And that's coming from reliable sources. Major
well.
Hit to the program. My understanding. Their safety was one of the top, and their starting quarterback is at Central Penn.
Well,
that
strengthens the Piranha.
Now, I mean, could it just something be too top heavy with the Piranhas at this point? Or, but you know what, the Piranhas were a 7-time champions.
As far as I know, they've won their last 3 in different leagues. I'm not sure. I mean, it could be a little bit more than that. But we'll get to the Piranha in a little bit. As far as the Gators,
gotcha.
You know, I wasn't aware of that. But you know what? You know, they always have that type of mentality, next man up. So, you know, you can't say that, you know, just because they're gone, it's a major hit. You know, you never know who can step to the plate and fill the spot. So, you know, as a former coach, that would always be my approach. So, you know, players want to leave. You know, eventually, whatever injuries, retirements, going to another team, you just have to keep the mindset and get out there and, you know, play your brand of football and stay true to it.
Wow. I mean, as I'm looking at this league, I will have to, of course, I mean, I can't discount the division champions last year, the Gators. I can't take nothing away from them. They have earned their respect until someone, you know, the old cliche, you know how it is,
mm-hmm.
until you get knocked off the top of the mountain, you're still there. So they
mm-hmm.
have a target on their back. I will have to give them respect for picking them coming out of the division. However, like you said, personally knowing Coach Turk, he's going to bring
mm-hmm.
He's going to have those guys with a certain attitude that's just, I mean, the Braves play hard anyway. Every team that ever had every year played hard. But for some reason or another, he makes that the extra come out in men on that field. I mean, he brings
mm-hmm.
that extra out. He's cursing you out or whatever he's doing. He gets it out of you. He gets the best out of you. He's, you know, he's a coach's coach. Now, I didn't know about the Bengals. Personally, knowing that team from Southern Jersey,
mm-hmm.
but for most of that team to be over on the Bengals,
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this much. They're by far, I mean, let's get a name right. Sometimes I forget the name. The team that went to the Bengals, they're one of the hardest hitting teams that come. They bring the heat. So
mm-hmm.
I would have to agree with you and say the Gators, I would have to go as one. Braves coming at them hard, just based off
mm-hmm.
the coach, because that intangibles bring that in there. No disrespect to Bison. They have a great program, and they could play the wild card. But I'm going to have to throw the wild card at this point and come out this division to the Bengals. Because the Bengals
mm-hmm.
bring that toughness, and they have raw talent coming out of Camden, New Jersey. But I will not sleep on the Bison. So it would be really tight between the Bison and the Bengals on the third. But I'll have to give the Gators until they get knocked off. Braves coming hard. But I believe that the Bengals are that wild card. Real
mm-hmm.
tight with the Bison. That's just my assessment from what I've follow these teams on, so that's my assessment on this division.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you want to just go over to the Metro West now? Metro West.
Sure,
division?
We'll go ahead and take a look at that. Of course, you have the Central Penn Piranha, the DC
mm-hmm.
Explosion, the Baltimore Blackhawks, and the Lancaster Lightning. Now, of course, the Piranha, just as you said, one of the things that they're great at is, you know, they get a good influx of, you know, quality players. I mean, one of the things that is something that you don't see at this level with the Piranha, they can go 2 to 3 deep in their offensive line, and that's where a lot of games are won. You know, plus they are able to, you know, in one quarter or one half, you know, rest a whole group of offensive linemen and put another group out there who's not losing anything. They're still producing out there on the field. And then
that's
offensively, you know, they're loaded, you know, with the plethora of running backs or receivers. So, you know, it's a pick your poison. You know, even at quarterback, if you, you know, you think that, you know, a certain quarterback is out, you know, their backup, you know, who actually used to play for the old Philly Eagles. I'm sorry, the Tacone Eagles. That was their name back in the day. Very elusive type of a quarterback, but he can sit back there and pick you apart, or he can run all over the field on you. So, you know, they're tough, you know, and they come up, they show up, and, you know, they will play you all game long. And, you know, if you don't come up to, if you don't bring your A game, you know, you can easily walk away with a looking at a 70-0 type of a game. So,
wow.
The next group is the DC Explosion. Throughout their history, they have been, you know, an explosive type of a team. Heavy hitters, like to take the ball over the top. Big physical offensive linemen, mobile quarterbacks. You know, defensively, they like to come at you at different angles. I've heard, you know, some stories that, you know, last year was a transition year, but they should be able to step it back up and play their brand of football. So, and right off the bat, playing Central Penn, playing host to Central Penn, we're going to find out, you know, how if they've made it back to, you know, their former capabilities, you know, as a team. The next team is the Baltimore Blackhawks. I'll be honest with you, I'm not too familiar with them. Early reports that I've, you know, received on them is, you know, they're tough, you know, but, you know, they're in the middle of a pack type of a program. You know, I need a little bit more information on them to gain more. And the last one is the Lancaster Lightning. During the preseason, they've been playing some, you know, quality teams, and they've been making a good name of themselves. They might actually be the dark horse out of this division. You know, everyone's going to say the Piranha right off the bat, you know, and it's hard not to argue that. But right now, I would give the Lightning the second positioning in that league, with the Explosion and the Blackhawks respectively coming up in that order.
Now, let me ask you a question. Now, I'm hearing through the rumor mill that the Lancaster Lightning, is that in the vicinity of where, see, you know, Sir Penn is located at, my understanding?
It's all in the same area, yes. They're in the central, you know, Lancaster County. They are, if I'm not mistaken, they're not that far from Allentown, so they're probably like an hour and a half from the Piranha, where the Piranha play at in the Harrisburg area, so...
Right.
But yeah, they're familiar with each other. They have a long history going back into other leagues, so they've competed against them. And, you know, earlier times it hasn't always been as successful. Some games yes, some games no. But, you know, from what I've seen preseason and heard about them, the Lightning, they're not an easy walk like, you know, in many years past that they have been.
Well, so, all right, so Lancaster, I mean, my understanding, now this is only rumor now. I'm only hearing that there may be some former Piranhas that's also on Lancaster Lightning. Now, I did hear rumors, just judging by the last preseason game that they played against the Lehigh Valley Storm from the DFL. Score was 28-19. My understanding is the game was pretty tight, and there was they had some quality players there.
And that's the same thing that I heard, the same thing, because the Lehigh Valley Storm, they're a decent team. They're not an easy cakewalk. So, and that's
right.
You know, some of the information that I received as far as the game. I mean, I just found out there's the broadcast over the internet, so I can check that out and get a little bit more information in reference to that. But, you know, from my understanding, the Lancaster Lightnings have definitely stepped up their game, and they're not an easy cakewalk like in years past.
So right now, I mean, I don't know if it's cocky to say this. I have to pick the Central Penn Piranhas out of this division easy. I mean, no disrespect to the other team. It's just that, you know, like you said, the Piranhas, for whatever reason or other, year after year, you blink the wrong way or whatever they do. They, like you said, they can put the second and third string in there, and they can still be ahead fresh. And I believe the second string and sixth. Second string is just as good as the first string, and they could be up on you 20 points and more. And they've done this consistently for year after year after year after year. So, I mean, you know, without further ado, I got to give the title already to the Piranhas, unless, like you said, the Lightning has something to really prove and try to knock them off. Now, I did hear that the Explosion is one of those scrappy teams. You know, I will try to put them in the same realm of the Bravehearts type of type of program they have and what they play. If you sleep on them, they can't come up on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my understanding. But I would definitely have to go to Lancaster as a number two out of that division.
Mm-hmm.
Explosion, you know. I had very little information about the Blackhawks, but that can come back and haunt us later. They could be that team that just quiet all the critics. You know, I'm not trying to be critical, just on my hard information. But I have to say, Cecil Penn, I had to pick the Lancaster, and then CC Explosion, then follow behind the Blackhawks. What is your take?
You're pretty much the same thing. That's you know, my assessment is Piranha 1, Lightning 2, DC is like a 2A, and the Blackhawks are in the third, you know, bringing up the rear.
Okay, just real quick. So the game of the week, we can easily say the Central Penn and Explosion, or you want to go with Lancaster?
No, it's Central Penn and Explosion. That's going to tell us right now. Central Penn is, you know, pretty much through the preseason. You know, they've you know, been pretty much, you know, they're running on, you know, they're running like a fine-tuned engine right now. So DC,
wow,
definitely, when they play them, you know, you're pretty much going to know early on, you know, where DC lies and Central Penn, because they played a few preseason games already. You know, already they played league champions of the RAFL, and, you know, they beat them already. So, you know, that's going to basically let you know, where Central Penn is, which we already can almost assume, and you're going to know where the Explosion are. You know, if they give them a battle, or if they end up coming out on the victorious side. You know, but yes, it can easily be a game where, you know, Central Penn walks away 70-0, or it could be a nail biter. So, you know, that to me right now has to be the game of the week in that division.
Gotcha. Just real quick, we didn't name a game of the week for a Metro Central. Would it be the Philly Braves and Gators, or would it be the Bisons? Or are we going with the Braves and Gators?
You're going with the Braves and the Gators, because the Gators are the champions from the South anyway. And, you know, the Braves, like I said, you know, they bring that tough-minded mental approach to the game. So that'll let us know, you know, where everybody starts to lie. You know, as you said, with the Gators losing their safety and their quarterback, and then Coach Turk, you know, with his approach, also, you know, doing arena football as well as this, you know, going back and forth, you know, he's going to be really into it. He's going to be in that football frame of mind. So that's the game of the week in that division.
Gotcha. Now, we're going to take it down to the Metro South division. Now, I mean, it's crazy because the exploding news that you told us already about the South Virginia Trojans just blows our mind. I mean, for those who's tuning in, it's the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. You know, got Coach Ed Gladden, yours truly, Mr. Naz, you know, we call him Mr. Wayne. We're reviewing the RFL 2013 upcoming season. And right now we're at the section of kind of assessing the divisions, and, you know, well, it's just our assessments. It doesn't mean we're critics, you know, we're just going by, you know, football knowledge, experience, and coaching. We're putting all those intangibles together based off of their performances last year and to present. Because any game, any team can win on any given Saturday or Sunday. Any team can win. So, with that being said, the Metro South Division, with the South Virginia Trojans having a catastrophic situation happen to their team with their owner having a stroke once again, our prayers go out to him, having to bow out of the division, that leaves us with the nemesis, the Redskins,
the Enforcers, and the Nemesis. In terms of breaking this down right now, this is Hampton Roads Redskins division, easily.
Right.
The Enforcers, you know, they played a game earlier, and I believe they lost 70-0. The Nemesis, you know, they're kind of a middle-of-the-pack team. You know, in years past, you know, from my scouting, you know, they're, you know, athletic, physical. They like to hit you. Sometimes can tend to be a little bit undisciplined, but,
the
you know, they do have
the
athletes over there. I'm sorry?
So you're saying the Enforcers are just kind of a what's the word I'm looking for? You know, they're one of those teams that they just like to go out there and throw the helmets on and hit and kind of lose track at times.
Yes, they're a program that's being built. That's basically the way I look at them. You know, they're trying to build their way up, and you know, if things go the right way, you know, eventually they can be a quality program. But right now, I don't want to say that they're definitely a team that needs to a little bit more fine-tuning. The Redskins, you know, they're, you know, a multitude of talented players from all over the area, from the former Prince William Monarchs, the Virginia Kings.
Wow.
One of their prime players is Darrell Overton.
Overton's,
you know,
over there?
Darryl, yes, Darryl's over there.
Wow.
And I believe the head coach, I'm trying to find out officially, but I think he's a former player, and if it's who I definitely was told, then he's definitely an excellent person to lead this program, knows them, knows the game very well. And when he played, he was an outstanding player. But now that he's, if he's the head coach, then, you know, he's definitely going to, you know, give you a special type of a brand. So the Redskins, the Hampton Roads Redskins are definitely a team that, you know, if things go right, they will definitely be able to compete against the Piranha and the Predators and the Soul and all the other top teams within the REFL.
All right, so right now, with the Trojans beating out that division, now I'm not seeing them handing over the trophy. Like, we, you know, we said earlier in the program, any team can win, but the favorites right now would have to be the Hampton Roads Redskins. I mean, right now, I've followed their team a little bit. They're a very strong program with quality players. And for those who's listening, personally going against Overton or watching him as well, very talented player, very talented player. I don't usually say about some players, but he's very talented. So for him to be down that program, I definitely have to go with the nod to them. And as behind them, who would you guys? The only thing we have left is the Enforcers and the Nemesis.
The Nemesis. The Nemesis would be two, and then the Enforcers would be bringing up the rear. Now, if the league, you know, gets a fill-in, I'd want to wait to see, you know, if they get a fill-in or if they're going to just readjust the whole schedule. But if they get a quality fill-in, seeing who it is, then I can, you know, reevaluate and, you know, see where we're going from there. But, you know, right now, Hampton Roads to me is the leader of that division, and you know, they're you know, things can fall their way. They can definitely be in a position to be competing with Central Penn. By the way, they play them week three, so you know, that'll be an early indication of where they lie between them and the Piranha.
Okay, that's definitely. So right now, it looks like we're the favorites. Now, we've labeled the favorites. Now, let's break down, you know, I know we pressed the time. Let's break down right now if you had to have head-to-heads out of the four. Right now, I'm going to do a recap. You have the Predators. You have the Soul. You labeled the Gators. You got CPP. Well, excuse me, yeah, Central Penn. Well, the top teams we've labeled. Let me see, you got the Predators. You got the Soul. You got the Gators, you got the Braves, we have the Bravehearts, we have Piranhas, we have Redskins. Am I missing
and the Lancaster Lightning and the South Jersey Bengals.
Lancaster Lightning. Now, how do you see this playing out?
Again, I mean, right now, as I said, I gave you the early favorites. Again, it could be it could go anyway. You know, again, in the Metro North, you know, it could end up being the Soul. I mean, yes, let's just say, for argument's sake, the Predators beat the Soul up in Massachusetts, and then things transition. They end up playing each other later in the season. So it could then be a split, you know. So being that it's the start of the season, you know, right now I'm just going to say, you know, because the Predators won the championship last year, they're the favorites, they have the targets on their back. If I was a coach, I would, you know, just as Coach Gene had said, you know, that's who they're targeting right now. You know, no disrespect to the other division members, but of course, to be considered an elite program, a championship program, you must play and beat the championship teams, and that's their focus. So I can definitely understand where they're going from, coming from in terms of looking at the Predators. Like I said earlier, the Soul, you know, because I've known how Eric runs his program and the type of players that he has, and being that he plays at AIC, he gets decent players from that area with college experience. Yes, they can definitely be a formidable program in the division and within the league. the Bravehearts, Mike Purnell. He is that type of a quarterback. If you know, if you let him sit back there, he will pick you apart. He's, in a sense, when he played for me, I almost looked at him almost in the sense of a Peyton Manning, only because of his ability to sit down and analyze and break down the opposition. He can read coverages very well. He can put his players in the right position, even his offensive linemen making the right types of calls. The Flemington Generals, years past, they've had quality players who played it in college, guys from Syracuse, from Rutgers. They're right in Rutgers' backyard, so they have the ability to pick some good quality players there. So even though last year was a challenging year for them, they can easily turn that around and be a surprise of that division. So the early favorite, I just have to go with the Predators because they're the champions. If we go into the Central Division, of course, the Gators, because they made the championship, they have to be the favorite. But again, as we talked, you mentioned the Braves with Coach Turk and, the type of his players. I mean, they have a beast of a defensive lineman in Marcus Slocum, played for Michigan University. If you allow him to, he will just dominate your offensive line. And he'll play whether it's inside or outside. He will definitely play there, and he will definitely beat you. If you go to the Bengals, they can bring out a big, massive offensive line, and they can pound the rock, or they can sit back there and they can throw the ball all over the place. Defensively, they're disciplined within their defensive philosophy. Coach Cream definitely harps on that. So they make minimal mistakes, and a lot of his players have been with him for years, so they understand what he's about. But again, the favorite in that division for me is going to be the Gators right now because they made the championship last year. As you said about the Braves, and I picked the Bengals the second, you picked the Braves, so it's a toss up there. If we go into the West, of course, right now we're going to say the Piranha because of what they have done for the past few years, and they're on a 30-plus winning streak, having lost, and then you have the Lightning, where, as you said, you've heard some former Piranha players are over there, and, their preseason schedule, they have been very competitive. DC Explosion, my reports are that, they have definitely picked up some players, so they might be, a quality program there, and don't know anything about the Blackhawks right now, so that's kind of why I'm going with the Piranha. And then down south, the South Division, Metro South, again, it's going to be the Redskins, with the Nemesis followed by the Enforcers.
That's a great assessment. I mean, I think, I got to agree with you. I think right now it's too early to kind of do predictions. What do you think in the middle of the season? Can we do a review at this point, at the halfway of the season? Do you think it'd be a fair assessment to kind of see?
Yeah, that's always a good idea. You'll have a general idea. You'll see injuries, if teams have picked up an extra player or two. We're also going to see what's happening with, the league in terms of the Trojan. Are they readjusting the schedule, or do they have a fill-in program? So, and if they have a fill-in program, who it is, for argument's sake, they could bring a team from the West Coast, one of the top teams that'll fly all the way over here and play. So, if that was the case, if they're a top quality team and they can do that, would that change the complexion? It's a little bit too early to tell. So, let's see what's going to happen with the league and what they do in that division and, see what they do with the schedule. And, like you said, middle of the season, we can take a little look and see what's happening and heading towards the second half in the playoffs.
I think that's a great assessment. Coach Ed, first of all, I want to say love you, man, appreciate what you do and being a part of this Game Strong initiative, man. We really do appreciate your input because you're well-respected with the whole entire football community. I'm talking about not just Jersey, New York, and Philadelphia, just all over. So we want to salute you and applaud you because, you've done a lot for us.
Well, thank you, Wayne. And, don't think that you don't contribute yourself. I mean, what you're doing here, allows everyone to have another outlet and another outreach in terms of, this game of football and allowing young men or and women. We can't sleep on the women because they're
That's right.
Out there too.
You can't sleep on women. Sorry, ladies. We know there's women behind us. I agree. So, I mean, without further ado, I mean, we had a great show on the preview. We're gonna, you know, so for those just tuning in, please check us out at www.blogtalkradio.com/Shadow Worlds Radio Network. We'll put it on Facebook. You can listen to the recap shows with Coach Ed Gladney. You know, hopefully we can get him back in here. He can kind of give you his analysis. But, you know, like he says, you know, when he comes out to the games, coaches, you know, just, you know, bear with us. Give us the information, and we'll get it out to you. You know, we're just providing another platform for coaches, players, owners to have a platform to talk about football, sports, or just their community initiative, because, you know, there's life outside the helmet. There's life outside the courts that we deal with. And we encourage you, please, utilize our platform. Our number is out there. You can call in every Monday. The guest calling number is 646-478-4507. So with that being said, I don't know, Coach Ed, is there anything you want to tell the listeners?
You know, let's get ready for exciting time in football within this region, this area. I'll be, you know, periodically popping in when my schedule allows, like I was this weekend, you know, and do a little write-up here or there. More than likely, if I'm not able to, the gentleman who I sometimes write for, Augie Dashiell for the Plainfield Sports News, he'll be there and he'll do some write-ups, and we'll try and, you know, get coverage to all the games and get you the information, Wayne, so you can definitely highlight that information.
Well, definitely. Once again, I got to give a special shout-out and acknowledgement to Brother Upstein. He's part of the Regional American Sports Network. We salute him and thank him. He's doing a lot of things with Plainfield Sports News and Best Kept Secret Entertainment Radio. He's part of the initiative. You know, so all you keep listening, brother, I definitely want to get you in and talk about what you're doing, because you're a hustle. Besides, you're in the gym, you're getting it in there, brother. So we want to invite you, definitely. I got to give also another shout-out to Neighborhood Sports Showdown out of Philadelphia area. Brother Jonathan, we talked about, you know, we talked about business behind the scenes, him and his lovely wife. You know, they do a lot of things as far as the video of the games, live broadcast. They're on the Philly public access TV. So hopefully this initiative is just a start. We're just trying to bring another level of to the semi-pro football, to sports, amateur sports, and local sports. You know, we're not just about the sports, we're about the community. And we hope you guys tune in. Like always, Brother Ed, you know, that's my man behind the scenes, and he's also a brother. He's also part of what we do. I can't do none of things like this without his inspiration. So we thank everybody for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Everyone have a blessed night.
You too, and everybody else be safe out there.
All right, what's that?
Let me ask you something, Mr. Campbell.
Uh-huh.
How strong are you?
I'm too strong.
What? I'm too strong.